Sichas Haran Os Ayin Dalet. Be'inyan HaTefila. What we're going to say is not only about Tefila, but Be'inyan HaTefila. Lefamim Ein LaHa'odam Shum Hislavos VaTefila. Sometimes, which I guess we can make a diak, that means not all the time, right? Some of us probably all the time. But sometimes a person doesn't feel any energy, doesn't feel any fire in his davening. I'm not talking about a person who doesn't daven. We're talking about a person who got up this morning and ran to Binyan, threw on his tefillin, and davened. But it wasn't necessarily the most energetic or memorable experience. And therefore a person needs to learn how to create a hislavus in tefillah. I guess you could say the topic we're learning about today is fake it till you make it. Rabbi Nachman is going to tell us there's nothing wrong with a person trying to act a certain way, although we'll see, we have to learn it in a nuanced way. But if a person doesn't feel hislavus in tefillah, if you don't naturally feel excited or energized to daven, so a person needs to create that hislavos. He needs to create the chamimos halev. He needs to energize, to warm his own heart, that it should be boer l'tfila. K'mol l'mashal. For example, shenimtza lif'amim sha'odam osa la'atzmo roges at shabob v'kas v'nisragis. Sometimes you have a person who brings himself, he creates a sense of anger. He gets himself worked up about something. Not just that it happened automatically, but he did something to get himself worked up, to get himself energized. It could be something silly, lamashal. It could be an athlete who, you know, has his favorite mix of songs that gets him pumped up for the game. Or it could be a person who knows that they're going to be in a situation that calls for them to bring a certain energy, so they don't naturally necessarily feel that, but they awaken that energy. They create that energy. They create that hisrag, that roges. Kamosha omer b'lashon Ashkenaz, as one says in Yiddish, hershnit zich ein roges. He creates his own anger. He's not naturally angry. He creates the mood. Kamokin mamish b'kedusha. So just like a person can sometimes get worked up about something, right? Even if it's not necessarily an important thing, the same thing is true in the realm of holiness. We could pretend to be better Jews than we are. We could pretend to be more excited than we are. And what Rabbi Nachman is going to teach us is that when a person does that, maybe over the course of time, it becomes second nature. It's okay to practice being excited to daven, even if you're not excited to daven. That's what Rabbeinu is giving us permission to do. In Kedusha, Binyan Tefila, Tzvichen Lefam, Lasos La'atzmo Roges, V'yasalo Chamimus, Pick a phrase. It could be a set phrase, or it could just be at some point over the course of davening, I'm going to say one pasuk with energy. Right? I'm going to say one line in Ashrei. Maybe it's a set line, maybe it's not. But at some point, I'm going to say one line like louder. I went to Marav last night after thinking about this piece, and just the first bracha of like Marav, I said it louder. I wasn't screaming or anything crazy like that. But I said it with more oomph. I did not practice this piece as much during Shacharis this morning. But it's an important technique. Rabbi Nachman is saying, you give yourself permission to awaken that fire inside of yourself, to kindle your heart, and to allow it to manifest through the Dibur HaTfila. Azoy vai ener shnitzich arayges. To awaken within oneself that energy. And then, if you fake it, but you do it from a place of wanting to get to that madrega, because right? if I don't try to feel davening, how am I going to feel davening? If I don't pretend to be excited about learning, but if I'm willing to try it, if I'm willing to again a little bit fake it, eventually it'll become emistic. Right? I'll tap into it. It'll become second nature in a way that's more real. V'yizka sheyivar libo la'Hashem yisbarach v'yispal b'slavas gadol. And then you become the type of person who becomes an energetic davener. Right? Give yourself permission to try to energize yourself in the davening experience. Okay? Yeah, John, you want to say something?
What's roges?
Roges means literally anger. Right? But it means to get a little bit fired up. V'chein be'inyin ha-simcha, the same thing is true, not only in davening, the same thing is true when it comes to simcha. What does that mean, to fake it till you make it? L'gabe simcha. V'prat b'shas ha-tfila. She'tzrichen sh'tiyah ha-tfila b'simcha gedola. U'tzrichen l'hachriach atzmo l'sameach atzmo. V'chol ma she'yachol. K'dei lizkos l'simcha u'b'prat b'shas ha-tfila. When it comes to simcha, especially in the context of davening, because davening requires simcha gedola, so we need lahachriach. What does that first word on the line mean? Lahachriach? To kind of force yourself, right? Make it necessary. Force yourself to smile before you daven. Pretend to say, oh, I love davening. Even though you're exhausted and you wish you didn't have to daven. Right? But you feel too guilty to stay in bed, so you get up and you go to daven. But force yourself to... Force yourself to be excited to be there. Think about what his chesed is. And force yourself to daven b'simcha, because it's so important, says Rabbi Nachman, specifically during tefillah, to be filled with energy and to be filled with simcha. Uchamuva ala pasuk azamra le'lokai ba'odi. Like Rabbi Nachman explained in his very famous Torah, azamra, that I will sing to Hashem ba'odi. I'll sing to Hashem ba'odi. Okay, we'll see what that means in a second. We'll learn a little bit of Azamra. V'im lif'amim daitu mububal v'inu yachol b'shum ofen l'sameach atzmo. And if you find yourself, this week's parsha, Parshas Noach, a mabul, if you're mububal, if you feel like you're all over the place and you can't even bring yourself to smile, you can't bring yourself to feel simcha, oz atzasa shiyasa atzmo ki'ilu hu sameach. If you don't have any real simcha, so act like a person who has simcha. V'afal fi shebitchila adayin ein simcha ve'emes b'leiv. And even though at first it feels very, very fake. Afal pi chein al yedei she'osa atzmo ki'ilu hu sameach. Al yedei ze yizka achar kach ve'emes l'simcha. You hear? At first it feels very unnatural. I'm going to pretend to be happy. I'm going to pretend that I'm an energetic davener. I'm going to pretend that I'm so... on fire for Hashem, feels very fake. But it'll become very real. And that's what Rabbi Nachman's saying. Right? It'll become real because it is real. There's certain parts of ourselves that, you know, there's certain things the Torah says about us or says for us to do, which we say, like, no, that's not me. That's not my thing. Like, take the mitzvah of loving Hashem. It's a good example. I always give this example. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to love Hashem with all your heart. How can there be a command to love Hashem with all your heart? How do you command someone to love? Famous question. The Rishonim asked the question, how could God give us a mitzvah to love Hashem? What if I don't love Hashem? You know what's the answer? He knows, right? The question is itself the answer. Hashem wouldn't ask it of you if it wasn't possible. So if Hashem says, I command you to love me, that means it's a natural state of a Jew to love Hashem. If you're not feeling that, it's because somewhere it got messed up. It got buried. It got lost. So when you start to fake it, you're not faking something that's external to yourself. You're doing something which is true to yourself. You're getting back to that which is true to yourself. That's what it means. So if a person feels I don't have any real simcha. First of all, try to find some real simcha. But if you can't, make yourself like a person who's besimcha. And even though at the beginning Rabbi Nachman says it's not going to feel genuine, it's not going to feel real. But eventually, al yedeza yizka be'emes l'simcha. Eventually, he'll come to a real simcha. Ve'etza zos hi etza gedola ma'od gam b'chol hadvarim shebekedusha. Chaver, put a star, underline it, something. Etza zos hi etza gedola ma'od gam b'chol dvarim shebekedusha. This is a very important technique when it's all matters of kedusha. Namely, shebetchila tzrichin la'atzmo ki'ilu hu lahut achshit, should make himself as if he's lahut, as if he's chasing after it. He's enthralled by it. He's so into it. Pretend you're so into it. You learned the top tosos and makos of Gimel and Aleph today. Pretend like, ah, yes, I remember when I learned this in my mother's womb. This was a geshmak tosos. Even though you're tired, and you have homework, and maybe you're not so in the mood for tosos, but pretend that you're crazy about this tosos. Shebetchila, make yourself as if you're lahut acharav, right? Like you're chasing after it with great fervor. and do that for all matters of Kedusha, v'acher kach zochin be'emes lazeh, and then it will become true, it will become real. V'havein ma'od, and understand this very, very well. Okay? Rabbeinu called this what? An eitzah gedola ma'od. For all inyanei Kedusha, for davening, for simcha. Now, again, since we live in a generation where we're very sensitive to, you know, mental health issues, right? We'll learn this piece and we'll say this with the awareness that what? That you can't tell a person who's clinically depressed to just be happy. But there's a certain degree, even a person who has no ability to be happy, who could force himself to be happy, right? As a therapeutic technique. Cognitive behavioral therapy starts with what? Acting the way you want to feel. If you don't act the way you want to feel, you'll never feel it. So if I act as if, then maybe it'll become my reality. Okay, that's something that is used certainly by many therapists as a means of getting a person to get to where they want to be. Let's practice doing the thing that's uncomfortable for you, which for whatever reason you're intimidated by, or you're uncomfortable with, or you don't feel that you're worthy of, or whatever it is. Let's practice that type of self-care until it becomes second nature. So that's what Rabbeinu is saying here. One of the greatest therapists of all time. Rabbi Nachman is saying, if you train yourself and you give yourself permission to tap into certain kochos and nefesh that maybe are not naturally on the surface right now, eventually you'll bring them to the surface. Yeah, David.
2 points. One,
go for it.
So Rabbi David Aaron gives like a lot of these like different word puns.
Yeah.
So
I love his word puns.
He changes. Like I think he uses this piece, and he changes fake it till you make it into fake it until you awake it.
There
it's
goes.
Always inside you.
That's right. You mitora that kalach inside you. Right? Fake it until you awake it, because it's there, right?
And then,
very good.
2 years ago, when I was downtown at Rosh Torah, we were doing kavos, and Rabbi Joe Wolf said, brought up this point that you were saying that like now it's like, it's much more difficult to miss a gedolah of the simcha.
Right.
So he like also did a little bit of a darshaning, and he changed the words around. He said simcha gedolah of the mitzvah, and he started like singing that while going around.
That's very good. Simcha gedolah of the mitzvah. Yeah. No, but the point is, it's there. You can tap into it. You have to be cognizant of what you're doing. Pause for a second and say, "I'm talking to Hashem. I'm not in the mood to daven. I don't necessarily understand all the words. I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling uninspired." But just be mindful of what the act you're doing. You're talking to the Creator of the world. Right? So the opportunity, that mitzvah should give you a bit of simcha. Okay? Now, he referenced in this piece, he referenced Rabbi Nachman's famous Torah of Azamra Lelokai Ba'odi, which is Torah Reish Pei Beis and Lakutim Moran. It's a very famous Torah. I know that some of you have learned it. I know some of you have not learned it. Okay? We're not going to learn the whole thing. I gave you just a couple of lines which I felt were most relevant to the point that he's trying to make. How does Azamra, in the second source on the page, how does Azamra begin? How does the Torah of Azamra begin? Da, like many of Rabbi Nachman's teachings, da, you should know. That means it comes from a very lofty place. Kitzarech ladun es kol adam lakaf schus. You need to try to judge every person favorably. To find merit by a person. Vafilu mishu rasha gamor. Even someone who, on the surface, appears to be a completely wicked individual. Vitzarech lechapes v'limtzo bo ezem ato. Lechapes means to search. You got to go digging. Dig down into the depths of that person's soul. Rav Moshe Wolfson explained that we call a person who's a heretic, a denier of God, we call him a kofar. What does kofar mean? It means this week's parsha. Noach's teva was what? V'chafarto sami bayis v'michutz ba'kofar. It means it's a cover-up. Which means what? Fake it till you awake it. Exactly. It's buried inside of you. So go digging. This guy is not a rush of gomor. Go digging. Dig deeper. Dig deeper. Dig deeper. Until you find Eza Ma'at Tov. Sheba Oso Ma'at in a rasha. Because in that Nakuda, in that point, somewhere down inside of that other person, because Rabbi Nachman starts with the other person, you find that Nakuda Tova. And when you dig that out, when you find it, and you train yourself to see him that way, as Shlomo Freifeld one time was sitting on a bench, with another rabbi, and he says, "You see that guy over there?" He's like, "Who? Which one? The guy? That one? The guy over there with the jeans?" He's like, no, the one over there." He's like, "What? The guy that kid with the jeans wearing the Grateful Dead T-shirt? No, the one over there. Yeah, with the long hair? No." He's like, "Freifeld, there's only one guy over there." He's like, "I know, but you keep talking about his clothing and his hair and see his neshama. Do you see him? Do you see that guy over there? Do you see who he really is? Because if you're just going to see, you know, some guy who's on his way back from Woodstock, you're not going to, you know, you'll never think he can come to the Beis Medrash." And that's who Freifeld was recruiting when he built Shar Yashiv. See him. See his neshama. Find the Nekudat Tov in him. Don't see him superficially. You see why it's the same yesod? When you train yourself to see the Nekuda Tova in that person, that will be'emes, bring that person. Right? You're awakening that part of him. And then that Rosh HaGomor, that person who superficially was labeled as a completely wicked individual, you start to redefine who he is. Says Rabbi Nachman in the second paragraph, "Zeh b'chinas va'od ma'at ve'ein rasha." David HaMelech says, "Va'od ma'at ve'ein rasha, v'izbonanta al mekomo ve'einenu." How does Rabbi Nachman read it? Hainu, sha'posik mazir ledun esakol lekavschus. The pasuk is training us to find that ma'at. Va'od ma'at. There's always a bit more. You think you know this person? Don't judge a person. You don't know this person. You don't know what's going on in his life. Right? The people you're closest with, you don't know what's going on in their heart of hearts. Even though you see on the surface, "Yeah, I know this guy. He's got a track record." Search and search and search until you find that ma'at tov, that od ma'at, says David HaMelech. Od ma'at ve'in rasha. A little bit more and you'll realize he's not a rasha. Shesham ein rasha. Says Rabbi Nachman, v'chein tzarech ha'odim limtso gam ba'atzmo. Right? Sometimes it's almost easier to train yourself with someone else. Because like for myself, no. Like that guy, I can at least say, "Okay, I don't really know him. Myself, I know. I know myself. I know how big of a rush I am in my worst moments. I know my shortcomings and how paralyzing they are in my Avodas Hashem, my growth." So Rabbi Nachman says, train yourself with someone else. Sometimes it's easier outside of yourself. And then turn inward. Gamzei yadua shetzarech adam lizar ma'od lios besimcha tamir. A person, "Why should I smile? Why should I smile? I know about all my challenges. I know about all my hardship. I know about all my averos. Why should I smile? Why should I be happy? And I can't even be melamed zchus because I know. The other guy, I can at least make up a story. Oh, probably this. I can come up with a story to explain why he's not as bad of a guy as he looks. But for myself, I know who I am. So I'm not going to make up a fake story about myself. How can I be besimcha tamid? Ulaharchi ka'atus ma'od ma'od. To distance myself greatly from any sadness. V'afilu, next paragraph, kishamaschi listakel ba'atzma overob, she'ein bo shum tov. So on those days that you look at yourself and you say, "Nah, just forget it. It's not happening. V'humbalechatan. I know the averos that I did." V'rotza ha'baldavar la'apilo al yedeza ba'atzma sumar eshchor. And the baldavar is a code word for the Yitzhara. The Yitzhara is trying to drag me down to sadness and depression because of this. Afalpichin osr lo lipol mizeh. It's usher. It's usher to fall for that. To fall from that. The same way you're able to be down lekav's chus on someone else, dig and dig and dig until you find something good about yourself. Right? If the good thing you did is that I didn't bow down to an idol today, so celebrate that. I did every other avera. Okay. This morning I didn't eat a cheeseburger. Gevaldik. I'm a good yid. Right? I should celebrate that, no? There's people who get up in the morning and go to Mickey D's and get a, you know, it's crazy to have that for breakfast, but there are people who do it, you know? I didn't do that today, so I'm, wow! It's a ma'at tov, no? It's a little bit good. Ki eichav sher shelo osa miyam av eiza mitzvah davar tov. And you know what, even if let's say I'm on a really bad streak, so go back to a time when I did something good. Maybe it was a long time ago. Maybe I'm really like spiritually, you know, in a lowly place right now. But I remember, I don't know, 3 years ago, I remember a particular way that I felt. So tap into that. That's yours. You have a right to celebrate that. And then you start to look at that davar tov, and you start to say, well, maybe I was so into it just because of, you know, religious peer pressure. When I think about how good I was in yeshiva, maybe I was just faking it then. And I start to question if it's really tov at all. I start to see that that's also, that mitzvah that I did is also filled with holes. It also has all sorts of, you know, damage to it. Even that mitzvah that I was zochah to do, maybe I did it for all sorts of pnios, all sorts of self-motivation, self-serving, you know, biases, machshavos zaros. Even when I was doing it, I was still, you know, my mind was still elsewhere. Pegam harbe. I'm not the amshon of a rebbe. I'm not Rav Itcher Meyer. Not Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So even my best is still, you know, what is it compared to like a real tzaddik? So that, these are the questions the Yetzer Hara asks us. Im kol zeh eich efsher shelo haya ba'osa mitzvah davar shebekedusha eiz ma'atov. Okay, so even your, so to speak, your good moments were not a perfect mitzvah. Okay, but can you at least admit to yourself it was a ma'atov? Od ma'at ve'ein rasha. A little bit you could say I'm not a rasha. Are you prepared to give yourself that much? Maybe I was doing it to impress this one or that one. I was mostly there. I was 99% there to try to impress my Rebbe. But I was also 1% there because I genuinely loved Torah. Maybe that's right. And maybe I was shuckling because the guy next to me was also shuckling. But a little bit I was shuckling because my neshama felt connected. So that ma'at tov, give yourself permission to celebrate that ma'at tov. Says Rabbi Nachman, in conclusion of this yesod, and again, it's a longer Torah, but the bottom paragraph, v'zeh b'chinas azamra le'lokai ba'odi. Azamra means what? What's a zemer? To sing. I'll sing to Hashem over my ode, over my little bit, over my ode ma'at ve'in rasha. Azamra le'lokai ba'odi daika. Hainu al yidei b'chinas ha'od shabi. That little bit. I'm able to sing. I should smile because of that. Shani motze ba'atzvi b'chinas od ma'at ve'in rasha. I find within myself a little bit that's not a failure. Al yedei osu ha'nekuda, that through that nekuda, through that point, al yedei ze'ucha lezamer lahodos la'Hashem. I should be able to sing to Hashem for the rest of my life over that. One little nekuda. Over that little bit of od. Okay? So Chavar, Rabbi Nachman is challenging us to be aware of our own successes, to give ourselves permission to awaken, again, those dimensions within ourselves. And again, to force ourselves, if necessary, to be besimcha, b'shas tefila, to have eslavas b'shas tefila. Right? You're not a bad Jew if you're shuckling hard because you want to be shuckling hard. You're trying to awaken something. You're trying to shake yourself into some type of connection to Hashem. Now, the flip side, of course, to this is no one likes a faker. We don't like being fake ourselves. I don't like pretending to act a certain way because I'm around certain people. And I don't like, you know, speaking or acting or doing certain things because I'm trying to pretend that I'm something that I'm not. Sometimes that's actually very damaging to one's religious growth. So let's look at a halacha. Turn to the second page. Let's look at a halacha. Are you supposed to shuckle during davening? Is that a halacha? Some of us do it naturally. Some people are very still during davening. The berditcher would be running around the room during davening, like the Gemara says about Rabbi Akiva, and the Kotzker Rebbe stood perfectly still, like he was frozen in place, the pachad of standing before his creator. There's different techniques of how to daven. Says the Ramah, writes the Ramah in his comments on the Shulchan Aruch, in source number 3, V'nogu ha-medaktikim lisnoeah, b'sha shekoyrin b'torah. People who are medaktik, right? People who are precise, people who are into it, they have the practice to what? To sway, to shuckle, to move while they're what? While they're reciting Torah, while they're learning. Dugmas haTorah shenitnu bereses. Just like the original Kabbalah haTorah was what? There was trepidation, there was trembling. So we're trembling. So again, is it a? I'm shaking. Am I shuckling because I'm nervous? I'm shuckling because I'm excited. Echein b'shashem espalin. The same thing is true when we daven. Like it says in Tehillim, Kol Atzmosai Tomarna Hashem Bikamocha. Davening is a full body experience. It's not just words coming out of my mouth. It's not just ideas in my mind, but kol atzmosai, all of my bones, all of my essence, all of my being should declare Hashem mikamocha. So how do I get my arms into davening? How do I get my head? How do I get my waist into davening? How do I get my knees into davening? Right? It's supposed to be a full body experience. Says the Mishnah Berurah, says the Chafetz Chaim, v'yesh poskim shecholkin al zeh. There are those who say that when it comes to Shmona Esrei, when it comes to Tefillah, right, a person should not be moving about so much. Maybe it's a distraction for you. Some say that when it comes to Shmona Esrei, you should be still as can be. Because at Har Sinai also, there was very quiet moments. Har Sinai had loud, fiery, energetic, shaking, earth-shaking moments, mamish. And Har Sinai also had this utter stillness when Hashem spoke. No one moved. Hear a pin drop. A bird didn't flap a wing, says the Medrash, if I remember correctly. The whole world was perfectly still. So he says that, Chafetz Chaim says, so during Pesukei Dezimra, during Shema, and while you're learning, you can chuckle away. Shmona Esrei, frozen in place. The Kosav HaMagen Avram, those are different opinions. The Kosav HaMagen Avram, Uda Ovid Kamar Ovid. That's a Gemara expression, which means if you do like this master, if you do like that master, it's all good. Some do like this, some do like that. The Ovid Kamar, if you do like so-and-so, good. If you do like so-and-so, also good. Now, says the Mishnah Berurah, where it's bold, look carefully. Vakol lefi mashuhu adam. But all of this depends on what type of person the emes you are. If shuckling helps you to get focused, if getting into the groove of shuckling helps you to be mechavin better, so then for sure shuckle away. Ve'im lav, and if shuckling is a distraction to you, yamor kach ubevat shechavin libo, and stand as you are, as long as the goal is what. The goal is greater concentration, greater connection. V'ksas misnanim tnua mishubeshes. Sha'guf omer al amdo. Rak v'rosh hofech pam liyaminu pam l'smol derech gaiva. Ein la'asos kein. But then the Chafetz Chaim says, but there are certain dance moves that people do during Shmona Esrei, which I have to say, Chafetz Chaim says, too much. Right? There's certain things that look, if you're standing in your place and you're just, there's a certain type, I don't know what he's describing, or maybe I do know what he's describing. I just don't want to call out anyone who ever did this, Right? There's a certain type of tenua mishubeshes, a strange tenua, a strange movement, where the body stands in its place and the head moves from side to side. I don't know, what's he describing? It's a guy with a dick. It's a guy with a dick. I don't know, I'm not sure what he's describing exactly. I don't know, why is that guy with a dick? Maybe this guy is... Maybe he's mamish, he's feeling it. Or maybe he's like Rabbi Nachman said, faking it till he awakens it, right? So why is that? But the point of Chafetz Chaim is, the bottom line is, Ovid Kamar Ovid. You want to do like this, good. You want to do like that, also good. What's the ikkar though? The ikkar is that you're sincere. The ikkar is that you're doing something that you're shayach to. Now, Rabbi Nachman's telling us, we're shayach to simcha during davening. We're shayach to Slavis during davening. Exactly which moves you're copying from some Shana Bek guy who taught you a certain move of davening, right? And now you're trying to, or like your older brother who like flipped out a few years before you, whatever it is, if you're doing it and it's not authentic, so then you have to be nervous that it's not authentic. The goal is to awaken an emes inside of yourself. It's a deeper return to self. It's the Zamer Lokai Ba'odi. It's digging deeper to uncover something which is true, which is Shaykh to you. It's to figure out what that line is where I'm doing it, where it's not really appropriate, and it's not really helping to awaken something emistic inside of me. It's actually faking it in a way that's just gaivadik. It just looks silly. Okay? Each person has to make their own calculation and figure out what that is. I saw in a little volume called Sichos Kodesh, which are Zichronos from Rav Yaakov Yechizkiel Grinwald, the Vayagid Yaakov. So I saw a little story in there, in source number 5. He says it was Motzei Yom Tov Shuas, so there was a particular niggun that B'nai Yeshiva used to sing to the words Nasa V'Nishma. And he saw that the Bachim were very, like, on fire. You know, Motzei Shavuos, by Avdolah, they were singing this Nasa V'Nishma Nigin, and it was fiery, it was very fiery. So he said to them the following, in source number 5 in the second line, Amar B'Shem HaRav HaKadosh MiLiska. He said in the name of the Rebbe of Liska. Mashallah Adam Sha'omed V'Tzoek Eish Eish. Imagine a guy, right, you know, screams fire in a movie theater. Yeah? Or screams fire in the streets. A person starts yelling, fire, fire! Right? And he's screaming. So im nimtza emes kedvarav sheish eish. So if it turns out that there really was a fire, right? Even though he looks like a crazy person screaming, yelling, screaming, fire, fire, right? But people are going to say, oh, this is gavaldic, what you did. What you did was unbelievable. People are going to be machzik lo tova. I'll show diam shiavo lechavos that he was able to inform them that they should come to extinguish the fire. He did him a big favor. Aval im nimtza shakran. But if it turns out, the boy who cried wolf, it turns out he's a liar. Umatriach b'nei Adam, azmakin osa. The fire department shows up and there's no fire. Ooh, this guy's in big trouble. He said fire and it wasn't true. So the Rebbe of Liska said the same thing is true when it comes to slavas and avodas Hashem. You wanna scream, I'm on fire for Hashem? Okay, if you're really on fire for Hashem, you'll have a positive hashpa on those around you. But if you're faking it in a way that's too inauthentic, Kain tzarech lizar sha'esh, haynu his oris shemarim berekida ya'esh be'emes. Right? Now again, where is that line is very tricky. Because I could tell you the opposite is also true. I could tell you dance like crazy on Simchas Torah, even if it's not 100%, you know, you're not a big Rosh Hashiva, you're not a big Rebbe. But give yourself permission to dance wildly on Simchas Torah, because it does awaken something. And part of you is a big Rosh Hashiva, part of you is a big Rebbe. Right, so where is the line between faking it in a way that's inauthentic and could be negative and damaging and gaivadic? And what is the faking it where it's, again, awakens within a person something? How do you figure that out? Okay, each person has to figure out what that is. But part of it is asking, again, did I learn this move from someone else? Am I just copying someone else's moves? Or am I really trying to find something inside of myself? And that's a really hard question to ask yourself sometimes. The Noam Elimelech in Parshas Kedoshim, on the pasuk Al Tifnu El Ha'alilim, do not turn to idols. Alilim means idols. Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara in Shabbos, he quotes, it says, Al Tifnu Kel Midaitachem. Al Tifnu El Ha'alilim means don't turn away. Al Tifanu Kel Midaitachem. Don't turn to idols means don't turn away from God. Don't remove God. Al Tifanu Kel Midaitachem. Don't remove Hashem from your mind. That's what the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kuf Mem Tes. So the Rebbe of Melech explains, Nira Peirushim Al Pisha Kasa Bisvar, Shebechol Eiver O Tnua Sha'adam Ose Mitzvah Odavar V'Kedusha. Every limb or every move that a person makes in this world in a way of holiness, Az HaNeshama Shora Be'Eiver HaHo. The Neshama, a spiritual energy, is found in that limb. So when I put my tefillin on my arm, we don't see with our physical eyes, but I can tell you that the neshama is more present in that limb at that time. As you wrap the tefillin on your arm, the neshama, there's an influx of neshama. And when I move, any move that I make, if I'm sitting with my chavrus in the base medrash, right, and I'm arguing over, you know, a pshat and a rashi or a ritva or a tosos, and I start, you know, swinging my thumb, right? So my thumb is energized with what? With ruchnius. The neshama is shora on that aver, where that particular move is filled with spiritual energy. Ukesha neshama shora ba'usu ha'aver, az ha'aver mitno'eya mikocha. So what do you think happens when there's an influx of neshama, right? Neshama is chios, is life itself. So that body part starts to be more awakened, it starts to move more. Right? When the neshama is present, there's more movement, there's more life. It's a sign of life. And sometimes that's why it manifests itself outwardly. Right? You're able to see what's happening. If a person is using a part of their body for kedusha, right? So that starts to that becomes energized. They start to see that movement. And it's different one person from the next. Meaning, to whatever degree you're spiritually connecting to that mitzvah, or using that limb to try to serve Hashem, right, it'll manifest itself in the way that it moves. It's a beautiful line. And because of that, the movements of tzaddikim are very sweet and very good to those who see it. You watch a tzaddik, you're like, ah, you should have seen, oh my gosh, I was by the rabbi, you should have seen how he ate the soup at the tish. Ooh, ah. What did he do? He took a spoon, put it into a bowl of chicken soup, right? He lifted it up to his lips, and he took a spoon. I did that also. But when I watch the tzaddik by the tish, take a little chicken soup, ooh, ah. There's a different, I never saw someone, well, what did he do? You say to your friend, I never saw, it was mom, it was gavaldik to see. What was gavaldik? You were like watching people eat chicken soup? What kind of weirdo are you? It's like a weird thing. What's right? Or like I was walking in the street and I walked past, you know, this rough. You should have just seen the way he was walking down the street. You should have seen it. It was unbelievable. What is he walking? What is he doing? Amazing. Such a sight. The movements of tzaddikim, because they're infused with what? With this ruchnias. So because of that, it you can see it almost outside of themselves. Their movements are different. You feel like every move that the tzaddik makes, it's like it's something, it's kedai to see. You want to get a better look. How many hours can you watch, you know, Rav Muttal dance around on Simchas Beis Shoeva? Right? But you become transfixed. Okay, I saw him go around the circle. I saw him do the forward and backwards. I saw him do circles. I saw, you know, what else do I need to see? But you become, I want to see. Are you waiting for him to do a backflip? What are you waiting for? Maybe. But there's something very sweet about the movements of a tzaddik. Because the neshama, which is the chelik of Hashem inside of ourselves, is what is causing that movement. But says the Rebbe of Melech, says the Noam Eli Melech, but if a person is trying to what? Do his friend's moves? People are like, nah, get out of here, that's not it. Right? You stole that dance move from. Yeah? That's not authentic. People are not makabel. That's not your move. You stole that move from someone else. Not why? Machmas she'eno sholo. V'lo hayin nishmaso be'eva ahu. Because that move's not his. It's not coming from his neshama. It's not authentic. It's not really. His neshama is not found in that limb, in that expression. That's not his move. That's not him. So in a certain sense, if every move we make in this world is supposed to be a godly expression, so when I make a move in this world that's inauthentic, it's a form of avodah zarah. So it says the Rebbe of Melech, that's the pshat in this Gemara. That's the pshat in the pasuk. Al tifnu el ha'alilim, don't get involved in avodah zarah, means what? Al tifanu kel midaitachem. Don't disconnect your mind from God. What does that mean? That means let your own neshama fill all of your activities. Because if you're making moves that are not yours, it's a form of avodah zarah. It's a shtickle of avodah zarah. Don't do things that are fake for you. He says the last three lines, ve'elohei masecha lo sasu lachem. Right? Don't make molten images. Perish lo sasu la'atzmechem b'masecha b'tnuos kozvos. Masecha is a mask. You're wearing a mask. You're wearing a costume. What are you? Who are you pretending to be? That's not you. It's tnuos kozvos, like we say in Halal, kol adam kozev. Right? Kozev means fake. You're a liar. So don't make Elohei masecha, gods and masks. Don't make. Don't wear a mask. Don't pretend to be firmer than you really are. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, as the pasuk ends, that the koach elokus of your own neshama should fill your movements. So again, this is a challenge to us, and I'm not offering an answer. We all have to figure it out on our own. There's no precise way to solve this question. Right? If you're asking your Rebbe to figure out what your shuckling should look like, that's already inauthentic, because it comes from within. It comes from within a person. I'll tell you a great story. I mentioned this past Shabbos, and my brother David told me. He said that one of his friends went to Rav Mordechai Machlis on Sukkot. Went to Rav Machlis. He was sitting in Rav Machlis. He's sitting with Rav Machlis in his sukkah. And at one point, he says to Rav Machlis, he's like, "Oh, Rebbe, there was something I really something I really wanted to ask you. I had a big question. I can't remember what it was. There was something that I was really, a really important question that I wanted to ask you, and I just can't recall what it was. So Ramachla says to him, "Oh, that's okay. Can I answer the question for you anyways?" So he's like, sure. So he says, "Well, it's a very good question. It's an excellent question. It's actually a very complex issue. And there are a lot of sides to this issue. I'm glad that you're thinking about it. There's a lot of ways to look at it. There are merits and demerits to sort of both opinions. There's a lot of different approaches how one could proceed given such a weighty question." He says, "But, you know, having now explored kind of the different sides of your question, I think my advice to you is that I can't really solve it for you. You probably have to just look inside yourself and figure out which approach is right for you." I thought that was such a brilliant thing to say. Because it's so true, you know? Rabbi, like, tell me what to do. Right? It's a complex issue. There's a lot of ways. I could argue like this. I could argue like that. I could tell you why you should chuckle like crazy. I could tell you why you look like a ridiculous person when you're chuckling like that. Right? I could tell you that you stole that move from the Shana Bet guy who you learned with when you were Shana Aleph. I could tell you that you're just trying to impress someone. I could tell you that, you know, that that someone called about a shidduch for you, so that's why you're trying to like look like you're... So which way is it? Right? And the answer is, at the end of the day, like Ramachla said, you got to figure it out. Right? Again, we're here just to taste a little Noam Elimelech, to taste a little Mishnah Berurah, to taste a little Rabbeinu, to taste a little bit from the Tzaddikim, to help us figure it out. But let's learn a comment from a Rishon. Okay? Because traditionally, we give a certain, you know, stature in terms of the Torah of the Rishonim. Why is that so? Were the Rishonim automatically greater? Rav Shechter sometimes says that there were people who were called Gaonim who were not necessarily big Gaonim. There was a period of Jewish history called the Gaonic period. There may be people who lived after them who were bigger Gaonim in terms of their learning. They just happened to live in that time period. But on a certain level, we could all admit that there's a certain respect that we have for early sources. So in the Sefer HaChinuch, in Mitzvah Tes Zayin, the mitzvah of not breaking a bone when you're eating the Karban Pesach, the Sefer HaChinuch says, because we're the royal class. And as members of the royal class, we have to carry ourselves like royalty. And we can't eat in a gluttonous fashion. It says in the Sefer HaChinuch, we're trying to what? To train ourselves by eating in a refined manner to be refined people. Because the way that we act is going to be the type of person that we become. Da, he writes in source number 7, Mitzvah Tazayin. The Sefer HaChinuch says, da, you should know. Ki ha'adam nifal kafi pu'losof. A person is shaped by his actions. Right? The things you do, if I get involved in doing a lot of good things, I'll become a good person. It's hard to, you know, to say like, yeah, I'm a good guy, but I don't do it. You have to do it. If you do it, it'll become you. V'libo v'chol machshavosav tamid acher ma'isav. His heart and his mind is drawn after his actions. Right? Sometimes we think like, if I have this intention, then I can act on it. No. Act on it, and then it'll become your intention. Your mind will be drawn after the things that you're osek b'ham. Im tov im ra. V'afilu rasha gamar bilvavo v'chol yetzer machshavos libo rak rak kol ayom. And even if you're a person, Mama sounds like Rabbi Nachman, even if you're a person who's involved, his mind is in bad places all the time. Im yare rucho v'yasim ishtad luso v'osku b'hasmada b'torah v'mitzos. If he decides, okay, so my mind's not in it, my heart's not in it, but I'm going to throw myself into it. And he starts being mishtadel, he makes an effort to study Torah in a serious way. He's putting in the time in the Beis Medrash. He's not feeling it, but he's showing up and he's putting in the effort. V'afilu shelo l'shem shamayim. Even if he's what? Even if he's not purely motivated, you know what's going to happen? He's going to become changed by it. Miyad yinata el tov. He's going to incline himself towards Tov, and we talk Shalol Lishma Balishma. We know that Maimer Chazal. The Gemara gives us permission. Meseches Horios and Meseches Psachim. Several places the Gemara tells us, you're allowed. We talk Shalol Lishma Balishma. So do it, even if it's not fully, purely motivated, until it becomes purely motivated. Uvekoach Maisav Yamis Yitzhahara. And through your actions, you'll destroy the Yitzhahara. And then, of course, the Sefer HaChinuch ends off with his famous phrase, Ki acharei ha'pu'ulot nimshachim ha'levavos. that after one's actions, the heart is drawn. If you want to become that type of person who feels it, you got to do it. We often do the opposite. When we're not feeling it, we run away from it. It's the opposite. When you're not in the mood to learn, that's the most important time to learn, because that will help you to reawaken that desire to want to learn. There's a mitzvah. We just finished the Yom Tov of Sukkot. V'samachta b'chagecha. What is simcha? Simcha is an emotional state of being, but the Rambam writes in source number 8 that we do things to help a person get there. This is cognitive behavioral therapy. The Rambam says, for the men, basar v'yayin, for the women, begadim and tachshitim, for the children, we give out candy, we give out treats. Right? What do you mean? Is that what real simcha is? And the answer is, if I do things that are superficially make me happy, then I can get to the level of what b'samachta b'chagecha that the Torah wants me to get to. So it's okay to try to do things to get to where I'm trying to be. But again, with the caution that I don't want to be a faker. And again, that's the hard balance that we're learning about today. Okay? Chaver, let's look at the Mesilas Yesharim in source number 9. One of the signs of a person who's energized in Avodas Hashem is a person who's quick in the performance of mitzvos. Not quick, like he goes to the shortest minyan to get it over with, but he's eager to get involved. So the Mesilas Yesharim writes, when he talks about Zerizos in the 7th chapter, he says, V'chein timtza kol ma'aseim shel tzadikim tamid b'mehiris. I always say, I have such a karas atov to this Duchina Rebbe Shliter, Matal Zilber, because one time I heard him say something about doing mitzvos quickly and why that's advantageous. Because sometimes we psych ourselves out. I think about this every single time I go to the mikvah. People like to take their time at the mikvah, and they have all sorts of things that they like to think about and to do. But I once heard Rav Matal say something about just like going in and coming out. Go to the mikvah. In, out, shkoyach. I'm transformed. I didn't spend 10 minutes, you know, thinking about every aveira I ever did in the mikvah, doing tshuva in the mikvah, and being mechaving different shameless in the mikvah, and toveling X number of dunks in the mikvah. Run in, jump in the water, jump out. You know? That's transformative. So, because it says that this is valuable. This is inherently valuable. I don't have to know everything about it. I want to be connected to it. It's doing actions. It's getting involved in doing something. Right? I don't know how mikvah, I don't know how it works, I don't know what does it really do. Just do it. Just go and be osek in the mitzvah. It transforms a person. So tzaddikim do things quickly. They don't get psyched out, you know. So they're energized. Asher lo yitnu hefzik zman. Lo el haschalas ha-mitzvah v'lo el ha-shlamasa. They don't wait between the start of the mitzvah, the conclusion of the mitzvah. They do it quickly. They start the mitzvah, they finish the mitzvah. Says the Ramchal, says the Mesilas Yesharim, v'sira sha'adam asher tilhat nafsho ba'avod ha-zboro v'adai sh'lo yis'atzel ba'asiyas mitzvosov. A person who, again, lahut means is chasing. A person who's drawn after mitzvos in avodas Hashem will not be lazy to perform mitzvos. Right? When you see a person who's doing a mitzvah, he looks like a leaping fire. His movement is like the speed of a fire. He sees the mitzvah through from beginning to end. It's the end of this week's parsha also. It's the family of Avram Avinu. It's Avram's relatives who don't know how to finish the job versus Avram. Chavetz Chaim makes this point. Chavetz Chaim al Torah. It says that what? It says that Terach set out to Canaan, but he didn't make it to Canaan. But Avram, Lech Lecha Me'aretzecha, and Avram goes and he goes all the way. I forget the lashon of the pasuk, but the pasuk says that Terach set out to Canaan, but he didn't finish the job. Chavetz Chaim says, right? There's people who start things but don't finish them. But a Talmid Chacham, a tzaddik, is a person who sees the mitzvah through from beginning to end. He doesn't rest until he finishes the job. He wants to see it all the way through. V'amnan hizbonin od. Think about this. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, where it's bolded. Shekamosha hazrizos. Listen to this. Beautiful words. Shekamosha hazrizos hu toladas ha'islatos hapnimi. Just like moving quickly, being zariz is a sign of what? Of an inner fire, of an inner drive. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, the opposite is also true. you can use the zrizas to awaken the inner drive, right? Meaning, normally, if I'm excited about mitzvah, so then you see that in my actions. If my heart's in it, so then my body reflects it. But says the Mesilas Yesharim, just like the Sefer Achinuch, the opposite is also true. Kain min hazrizas yivaleit ha'islatus. From trying to do things with energy, by getting to the Beis Medrash a little quicker, that will help to awaken your desire to be in the Beis Medrash. By getting to Shir a little earlier, that will help you connect to the Torah that we're learning more deeply. V'hainu kimisha margish atzma b'maisa ha-mitzvah. When a person does a mitzvah and he moves quickly, like one who again is expressing that through his outer movements, that kindles the fire inside of himself. So it's not always I have to be there emotionally in order to then act that way. Sometimes the action will lead to bringing the heart along. And again, that's the yesod of the Sefer Achinuch. That achrei ha-pu'ulos nimshachem ha-levavos. The heart is drawn after the activity that a person does. I want to end with two final sources. One from the Kotzker and one from the Chiddush Erev. The Kotzker Rebbe has a famous Torah that his grandson, the Shem Yishmuel. Hey, where's our picture of the Shem Yishmuel?
Don't take that picture.
It's still our Shem Yishmuel. We used to have the Shem Yishmuel on the wall.
That's
right. We lost our printer. Okay. So the Shem Yishmuel, the Sokachava Rebbe, was a grandson of the Kotzker. So he says, I heard from my grandfather, the Holy Rebbe of Kotzk. This is in the Shem Yishmuel and Parshas Vayichi. V'hayu hadvar me'ila asher anochi mitzavecha hayom alav adecha. Chavar, ask a question on that pasuk that we say in Shema. These holy words of Torah should be where? They should be on my heart, or on your heart, right? What's the question? Why is it on the heart? It should be in your heart. No? Seth, you don't want to be superficial. You don't want Torah to stay on your heart. You want Torah to enter your heart. You want it to be in your heart. So why does the pasuk say, Alevavecha? It should say, Bilvavecha. So the Kotzker Rebbe said the following. And again, I think it fits very well with the theme we're learning today. He writes, V'higid, middle of the second line, Shehalev hu sosum. The heart is sometimes closed up. But there are special times where the heart opens up. And if we pile up mitzvos, we pile up, you know, words of Torah upon our heart, right? Even though our heart feels like a heart of stone, and it seems like everything that I'm placing it is just remaining on top, but there'll be moments as be'es psichas halev when the heart softens, and so to speak, opens up. All the things that you've placed al levavecha, that are sitting at the entranceway of the heart, they're all going to what? They're all going to be noiflim letoch liva. They're going to fall into your heart. It's a great idea. That's a deep teaching, no, Daniel? It's a deep teaching. Meaning, I don't know how to get that. I don't know how to feel it in a deep way. I don't know how to get it into my heart. Rabbi Nachman says, go for it. Practice it. Do it. Says the Kotzker, sometimes even if it feels like I'm getting trapped at the door and I can't get it into my heart, but by placing it on my heart, I'm setting myself up for those moments when I have, what, a shviras halev, a breaking of the heart, opening of the heart, and everything that's sitting there, all those mitzvot that I did, will fall in. Right? I've tried. I don't feel that emotional transformation taking place. I'm doing the actions, but nothing's changing. Just keep stockpiling. Because when the heart softens, the whole thing's going to go falling in. And last but not least, on that same series of psukim, in the Siach Sarfei Kodesh, which is a collection of teachings from different tzaddikim, it says in the name of the Chiddush Arim, "Va'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha." You should love Hashem with all of your heart, right? B'chol nafshecha, b'chol meodecha. So the Chiddush Arim, the first Ger Rebbe explained, the Gemara in Brachos says, you should love Hashem with all of your heart and all of your soul. And what does the Gemara in Brachos say about loving Hashem with all of your soul? Afilu hu notel es nafshecha, be prepared to die, to give your life for God. B'chol nafshecha means what? Give Hashem, even be prepared to give Hashem back your life. So you know what b'chol levavecha means? Be prepared to give Hashem your heart. What does that mean? Chiddush Yerim says, one of my favorite parts. He says two lines from the end of the page. Va'amar im kein, ha'perish b'chol levavecha, afilu hu notel es levavecha. Even if God takes your heart. I have to serve Hashem, be prepared to serve Hashem, even if God takes my soul, He takes my life, prepared to die al Kiddush Hashem, if push comes to shove, God forbid. So the same thing is, I have to be prepared to serve Hashem even when Hashem takes my heart. What does that mean? It means I'm not feeling anything, but I still serve Hashem, even afilu hu notel es levavcha. Dehainu shelefamim ein lo lev klal l'avodas habore. I don't want to daven. Not in the mood to learn today. I'm not feeling spiritually connected. I come to shul on a Shabbos and it was a rough week and I don't know, I have a lot of things that are weighing on my mind and I need to take care of them. I don't need Shabbos right now. Even though, of course, what you really do need is Shabbos right now. But I feel like I don't need Shabbos right now. Right? I don't feel it in my heart. A Jew has to serve Hashem from wherever he is. Even if Hashem takes your heart. So that's the yesod that Rabbeinu is teaching us today. Okay, to allow yourself to what? To bring that I don't want to call it a fake energy into davening, because it's not fake. Right? But bring a certain unnatural energy into davening and into simcha sachayim until it becomes natural for you. Because be'emes, it is a part of it. And our job is just to dig a little deeper. Azamra le'lokai ba'oli. Dig a little deeper and then sing and celebrate with Hashem over that newfound religious connection. Yes? Yeah.
I think that fits really well with the end of Sukkot, where it's both the Tzadik and the Shemino.
Okay.
If you put yourself around, I think they are connected by, if you're around.
You're saying by putting so many mitzvahs next to your stone heart, that itself softens. Right. It's not just pile it there and then, something different will cause the heart to open. By piling it there, it'll crack the heart open. It'll have the hashpah. You're creating an environment where the heart will want to soften because it's surrounded by so many mitzvahs. So tov le tzadik, tov le shcheinu. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. Right. Yeah, for sure. That's a great question. The tzaddikim talk. The Shulchan Kadosh talks about it. Other tzaddikim talk about it. Right? To fake on the Yamno Ram is where they talk about it. To make sounds during davening, right, of a person who feels a certain awe of the Yom Hadin, to let out a sigh or a krech or an oi, even if it's not an authentic oi, right? Or to make a sobbing reciting kinos on Tisha B'Av. To say it in a voice that sounds like you're sobbing, even though you're not really sobbing. So there is the same technique. Rav Nachman says it's an Eitzah Gedola in all matters of Kedusha. So if it's a time when I'm supposed to feel a certain degree of trepidation or sadness, right, or mourning, so act like one who feels that way until you feel that way.
So you could apply it to anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. I'm glad you asked it. Okay. Any other comments, questions, thoughts? Okay.